Well, it's long overdue due to our short shows the last couple of Tuesdays because of A's baseball. We've missed Charles Davis, but guess what? We have got him right now, and we are delighted. Charles, yes. Great to have you on. It's Grant and Doug. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to talk with you guys again. I hope you're both well, and I can't believe we're – aren't we in media days now for the NBA?
Yes, we had media day.
We're there.
Hey, listen.
Can't wait.
The first preseason game is on Monday, if you can believe that.
It's coming fast and furious already, oh. Charles.
That's
amazing.
Great. Well, hey, that's good.
Charles, last week you were in Kansas City doing the game on Fox when they played Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And you made this comment, and Doug and I have been talking about this the last couple of weeks. I don't understand, or maybe I do because of postseason failures, why more people don't appreciate what Alex Smith does for the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's really kind of crazy, isn't it? You know what I think part of it is? We form opinions, and then we don't like to change them. Or we kind of form the opinion, move on, and we freeze it there. To me, it's similar to when I visit the University of Tennessee, my alma mater, and I go by the athletic department, I go by places that I've been before.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone is still around that knew me when I was a student, they have me frozen at 18 to 22. They still talk to me like that. You know, they still kind of refer that way. I'm not saying they haven't evolved me in some ways.
Right.
But most of it is still centered around this is the 18 to 22-year-old guy. And that's just kind of a normal thing, I think, for people. You free something, that's all she wrote. I'll give you a quick one other quick example. Alex Smith came out of the University of Utah as the number one overall pick in the draft. That's got to carry some cachet, right?
You right.
His style of play is he's a mobile, cerebral quarterback, okay? Very accurate throwing the football. Took care of the ball when he was in college. Gave defenses fits because he could run it and then throw it. Comes out. When Marcus Mariota was coming out in the draft, I was asked to compare him to someone, and Alex Smith was the first thing that came to mind. And right before we went to the draft, an executive grabbed me and said, "You can't compare Marcus Mariota to Alex Smith. Whoever drafts him, that fan base will lose their mind. This is a bad comparison." I said, "We missed a bad comparison. It's the perfect comparison." "Yeah, but Alex Smith, if they hear that, they'll go, 'Oh, my God, he can't be that good.'"
Mm.
See? And that's what Alex has had to battle. And that's why I also said during the game, when he made that throw late on a second down and stuck it when they could have just run out the clock.
Right.
That's why I said he's the most confident quarterback in the league right now, because Alex Smith's been places, the depths of places, where people don't believe in him. And now he's reaping the benefits where people are saying, "Oh, he's actually pretty well. He's got targets he can throw to downfield. He's got a running game behind him." We're seeing all this come together, and I don't think there's a small part that drafted Mahomes may have lit in a little extra fire in him.
That great point.
That's where I was going, actually, is how much of that do you think Mahomes being behind him, the ability for Mahomes to, you know, bomb the ball down the field, and Alex is kind of out there going, "You know what, don't forget what it is that I do."
Yeah, I think it's a combination, Doug. I think that the Mahomes it wasn't even a gentle push. I think Mahomes was drafted for a specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
They lost at home in the playoffs to Pittsburgh last season. The defense gave up 6 field goals, never a touchdown, and they lost the game.
Right.
And that inability to push the ball, force it, because Alex has done a great job of taking care of it. One of the faults you would find, though, is his yards per completion or yards per attempt. It's pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it that way, you're like, in the playoffs, there's times when you have to take that shot and take that throw. And what I've been fond of saying, when I say fond, what I've been saying frequently is 3rd and 7 – one thing about Alex Smith, if the defense is only going to give you 6, he'll take 6.
Mm.
Well, as John Madden always used to say, if it's 3rd and 7 and the defense gives you 6, that's not good enough.
Yep.
You got to find a way to get 8. And this year Alex is finding a way to get 8. And Mahomes' ability to take that shot, that big arm, the way he played at Texas Tech, make no mistake about it, it was a clear message. The best part, though, is Alex Smith took on the challenge.
No
and
doubt.
Not only did he take on the challenge, do you know he was the first guy to welcome him to Kansas City?
How wow. about that?
That's amazing.
Called
wow.
him and said, "Hey, I'll be there." And
class.
I know wow. this to be true. He told him privately, You will never have any trouble with me, Pat Mahomes. I will not be the one in the locker room bad-mouthing you. I will not be trying to get guys on my side.
Wow.
I will not create any discord. I'm going to compete. You're going to compete. But I'm going to help you along the way.
Awesome.
And now Alex Smith is in a great spot.
That's great. Charles Davis from Fox joining us here on Sports 1140 KHDK. On Sunday, you were in Nashville, and you got to look at the Seahawks. And, you know, when you look at their game last week against San Francisco, had it not been for the scrambling ability of Russell Wilson, they probably don't win that game. We talk about their offensive line. We talk about the problems with this team. What did you see?
They are like a baseball team to me. On defense, strong down the middle. Get two monster tackles in Sheldon Richardson, Jaron Reed. Bobby Wagner is a Pro Bowl, all-pro middle linebacker. And the two safeties are as good as it gets in the game, Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas. So that's what you want on defense, strong down the middle. And, of course, they got plenty of other players like Richard Sherman, et cetera. On offense, though, all right, so if defense, if they are what you would call good field in baseball, they are no hit on offense in football. All right, and I don't mean being physical. I mean
right.
scoring. Being able to score ball points. They don't do it very well. The best way they do it is when they're a little more up-tempo, a little more wide open, let Russell Wilson create. Because that offensive line is still struggling. They can say what they want. The proof's in the pudding in the first three games. Russell Wilson has to make a lot of magic with his legs. One of the best stats of the game Sunday is that he only got sacked one time. That's Houdini. Because when he took snaps, guys, it was like a starter's pistol went off. Go. Find
yep.
a way. Get somewhere. Make it happen. The problem they have is their identity is to run the football first, establish things, and throw off of it. I'm going to go Vin Scully, guys.
Uh-oh.
And Alex, in Russell Wilson's career, if he's thrown the ball 39 times or more in a game, Seattle is now, after Sunday, 2-7 in those games. That's not who they are.
Right.
So he's putting up big numbers, but they're not going to win that way. Plus, they lost Doug Baldwin during the game, so that's a top target. Jimmy Graham's got a bum ankle. He's not playing up to snuff. You see? They don't have those big-time targets to go to right now.
Right. You know, when you look at the Jaguars, it's probably they beat up on the Ravens 44-7, but guess what? Charles, nobody got to see the game because it was on Yahoo.
You weren't streaming?
No, I was not streaming. So when you say something like that, who are the Jaguars?
The Jaguars are a team that we've talked about for years as, hey, better look out for the Jaguars.
Yeah.
All right? They've been building through the draft. Some of their free agent pickups have been good. And then it feels like every year they let you down. Well, this was the year I heard more times than not, hey, you know, the Jaguars have been building, been doing things, but you know something? They usually end up 4-12.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because people after a while got tired of sticking with them. Well, this looks like this was the year that maybe you want to stick with them. Getting Calais Campbell has helped the defense immeasurably. I think he got 1.5 more sacks this week after getting 4 on opening day. Dante Fowler's playing way better. Remember, a number one pick. Miles Jack is playing lights out. A second-round pick only because of a knee injury. Jalen Ramsey, a first-round pick, is playing very well out on the corner. So they've solidified things. Like right now, between Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Boye, who they got in free agency at the corner, that's two really good corners. I
mean, right.
Talk about some of the best in the league. And their third corner, Aaron Colvin, has recovered from a knee injury to be a really good player. So the talent is there, especially on the defensive side. Blake Bortles at quarterback. If he plays like he did Sunday, and as you said, Doug, we didn't get to see it,
right?
So we're not sure it happened. The tree
this
fell,
is true.
Didn't make a sound, right? But I've heard in the stats he had no turnovers and 4 touchdown passes. That's the Blake Bortles we thought we were going to get in 2016.
Exactly.
But he played in 2015. If we get more of that Blake Bortles, because now you got Fournette in the backfield with Chris Ivory, Lindner is the highest paid center in the league and plays at a high level. Cam Robinson from Alabama, the left tackle, is a rookie, is getting better. All of a sudden, we're starting to have something going here, okay? And now they're going to go chest-to-chest in a very tough AFC South now. They lost already to Tennessee, but they get them again. Indianapolis is struggling. And, of course, Houston is the class of the division because of the defense. Tennessee and Houston play this week. All of a sudden, the AFC South is a whole different deal.
Yep.
The Jaguars are 2-1.
Yep.
And now they've got a couple legitimate wins, too, when you think about it.
Charles, I'm going to give Doug some really good news, because this Sunday you can get up at 6:30 Pacific time.
Okay.
And you can actually turn on Fox, which you get at your home, and you can watch the great Kevin Burkhart and the great Charles Davis.
Yes, sir.
Call the Saints and the Dolphins from London.
I will do that.
And so, Charles, there you go. Doug will not be asking
that.
You. Yeah, exactly. Have you been to London before?
I love that. Listen, I've never been to London before. This is my first time.
Awesome.
And here's the other thing, Doug. If there is streaming of this game,
uh-huh,
it's okay, because you actually can turn on a TV, as Grant just said.
Yes.
So people can stream, people can watch, whatever it is. But this is my first time to London.
That's awesome.
I'm really excited about going. I can't wait to go. And I promised myself, I made a vow, because my number one thing is work first.
Okay.
I made a vow that I'm going to be efficient in my work for once. And I actually will see a few of the things that are there for us.
Great.
In London, because it'd be a crime to go to London.
Yep.
And come back and go, well, I saw Wembley Stadium because I was there to do the game. That's pretty much it.
Now, does Mrs. Davis get to accompany you to London?
Yes, she does. And she has been to London. And I've noticed that I think she actually laminated a sheet tonight that tells me what I've got in store for me. So
well done. Well done.
That's a classic.
You know, like the coaches' play sheets?
Yeah.
You know, they laminated in case of weather. I think I'm going to get a laminated copy that will be given to me on the plane.
Oh, I love it. That is great.
Any Harlan Coben books going with you? Because I downloaded one just recently, Home. I haven't got a chance to go through it yet.
Oh, you're going to read Home?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, you know, tomorrow his latest book drops.
Oh, so it will be going to London.
Tomorrow is the latest one that drops. I've been lucky enough.
He gets a preview of these, Doug.
Yeah,
he gets it before anybody else does.
Excuse me.
I'm like a little kid when I say that. And I will tell you a true story. We had a very good friend who was a former very successful high school coach in Southern California. He reads like all of us do, okay? Like we're exchanging books and, you know, what you're reading, all that. He and I, you know, he's right in there with us. And so he's a huge Harlan Coben fan. And so every time I get the book in advance, I take a picture with me smiling and send it to him. And so I got a picture back from him with a middle finger. So I'm not quite sure what he meant by that.
he was just saying you're number one.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, he wanted to tell you you're number one in his eyes.
But Doug, tomorrow, Don't Let Go drops. So be ready to rock and roll. Harlan is back.
Well, that is awesome. Before I let you go, you know, I don't want Doug to give me a hard time the rest of the week, because I asked you a question
about the Seahawks
with the New York Football Giants being 0-3. But I got to tell you, and I don't know how you would handle this on TV, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I was disgusted by what Odell Beckham did, because of what I perceive as selfishness. And, like, it's always about, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. And you and I have talked about him over the past few years. And now we're talking about a guy that's a veteran. He's in his fourth year. This is a premeditated act, and it cost the team 15 yards. I'm not saying the Giants lost yesterday because of Odell Beckham. That's not why they lost. But I'm just wondering how much longer an organization is going to put up with this.
I think that I learned something. You know Bob Sutton? You know that name?
Yes, Bob Sutton.
He used to be the head coach at Army in football, and now he's the defense coordinator at Kansas City Chiefs. We were talking about Travis Kelce, the super talented tight end for Kansas City. And in the first two games of the year, he got personal fouls. I mean, just, you know, post-possession, taunting someone. You know, remember he took the ball and shoved it between the legs of that guy in New England when he was on the bottom of the pile. That's kind of who Travis is, a super emotional player, but God, is he productive, right? And we were talking about different things and all that, and Coach Sutton just looked at us and, you know, that wise grin of many years of doing it, and he said, well, you do realize that with production comes patience. And that's what happens with a lot of these guys. And Odell Beckham, because of the great production, you're a little more – and patience, not the right word. You don't want him doing it. You're talking to him. I'm quite sure that all the way up to the Maras and the Tishes, that they're going to have conversations with Odell. But he produces at such a high rate that you're going to have those conversations and talk to him, as opposed to if he were producing at a Charles Davis rate, they would have cut him already. And that's where it is, because they've got to get this thing figured out, that you don't need to go and do all this extra stuff, because the look at me, look at me, it's just catching the football, because the whole world's captivated when you're out on the field. We look for Odell Beckham Jr. even without the extraneous. I just look for him on the field, because when he goes and makes a play, it's gorgeous to watch.
Yeah, no question.
It really is. So I don't need the rest of it. And the idea that he's going to urinate and – I mean, somewhere Randy Moss is like, where's the real outcry? You know, when I did this, Japan's people lost their mind. Joe Buck went absolutely berserk. And
yeah, he did.
This actually seems muted, and I think part of it is Odell's actually lowered the bar, and that's unfortunate. Yeah. He's lowered the bar because we're like, well, how many other things has he done? What's next?
In Charles, in a great game, more impressed by the Falcons or the Lions?
I'm actually more impressed by the Falcons because they found a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
And the Super Bowl hangover and the Super Bowl slump is real, and they've had to deal with it.
Okay.
We had them in the opener, and I thought, Doug, it was really important for them not just to win the game, but to find a way to grit one out, and they did.
Okay.
Because you remember, the Bears had a chance to beat them. They had
yes.
one in the end zone. Jordan Howard, you know, turned his head. But they found a way to win a tight one and didn't blow a lead. And I think that was huge for their confidence. Add this one in where they found a way to win and didn't blow another lead. That's another one that they don't have to answer those questions, because I went back to Chicago and thought, hey, if they lose this one, they go to their home opener, open up their new stadium, Green Bay's coming to town, and so are Al, Chris, and Michelle. What do you think that chatter would have been that week if Chicago had scored on that drive?
Oh, boy, no kidding.
Because yeah. they were up 10 in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
So they were able to get that behind them twice now in the first 3 weeks. That's big for their psyche. That's why I'm saying a little more impressive. But here's the thing about Detroit. We're used to them being an up and down, make the playoffs, miss it the next two or three seasons, make
right.
the playoffs. This looks like a team that will contend strongly again for a playoff spot. I was glad to see Jim Caldwell get the contract extension because I think that he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this team likes playing for him. And that loss on Sunday, that's not one that you're going to sit there and go, oh, same old Lions. They were that close to getting in.
Yes, they were.
The rule prevented them from getting one more shot at the end zone.
Charles, have yourself a fabulous time in London, and we will you know, ask for a full scouting report
yes,
next
we
week
will.
When we have you on.
I look forward to giving it, and I'll try my best not to sing Ron Burgundy. Baxter and I are going to London Town on the way there, so I'll see what I can do.
You're the best,
enjoy.
Charles.
Thanks, guys.
You take care.
Take care, okay?
Yep. Appreciate you.
That's great stuff right there. Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox, and we'll come back, and we'll continue right here. Sports 1140 KHTK.
Hi, Grant Napier, Doug Christie.
Yes, sir.
339-1140 and 800-920-1140.
You know, Grant, what time it is? Do you know what time it is?
No, I don't. What country are you in? It's right now, 7:33 in the morning over in Bangkok. I do know that. Does that work for you?
That works.
All right.
Wonderful. It's 7:32 in Bangkok and 5:33 here in Sacramento. Time to watch Sacramento Republic FC host the Real Monarchs, SLC, Wednesday at 7:30 at Papa Murphy's Park. Tickets at SacramentoRepublicFC.com.
All right, let's get to Chris. Chris, you're next here on Sports 1140.
Hey, Grant.
What's
hey,
up,
Doug?
Chris?
Hey, first I just want to, I know I've talked to you a few times, but I just want to reiterate again about Doug. I mean, he's a great addition to the show. I mean,
thank you, sir.
Top notch.
Hey, I'll send you that check later. Don't worry about it, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, but no, I mean, I was going to call you yesterday, but I mean, I'm still real. I mean, that game Sunday was, you know, the Raiders just a punch in the gut for a Raider fan. You know, I've been a Raider fan for over 40 years. And
I don't recall a more lopsided game with a team that I thought was going to be really good, like the Raiders. In other words, they were absolutely annihilated in every facet of the game.
Yeah, and I mean, again, you know, as a Raider fan, you know, Derek Carr is, you know, like he's the second coming of Christ for us. I mean, for him, I don't know if you saw the game right at the beginning when they panned over to him. I mean, he looked like a deer in headlights. Before they ever snapped the ball, it was just like there was something wrong. The offensive line was horrible. Way too many guys out of position. Wide receivers can't catch the ball. I mean, it's just – and it. I know you know yourself, Grant. When they play on – if the Raiders get lucky enough to play on a Monday night game, it's a debacle. They play like
yep. –
they play horribly. I mean, every single time. Anytime they're in a primetime game, Raider fans are pumped up because, hey, you know, we're back in the limelight. But they just – they're horrible. Anytime.
Well, they better not be horrible on Sunday, because if they lose to Denver – with the way Kansas City's playing, that puts them in a big hole.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I believe that Denver could probably, if Denver loses on Sunday against the Raiders, I think they can pull themselves out. But if the Raiders lose against Denver, then it's going to be a hard road to hoe, because again, I mean, it's a young season, but I think that they really need to have like a players only meeting, and the guys need to start, you know, like I said, there's way too many drop balls. Guys are out of position. The defense is, the offensive line looked the worst I've ever seen it look in the last few years. And it's just, it's just one thing after another. They really need to get it together.
You know, Chris, Derek Carr, I'm sure it felt like his brother David Carr, because he's getting sacked before he knows it. And I think that that's part of it. I think that when you look at him, injury last year, and all of a sudden you come back and the offensive line isn't right now performing to what it was, he doesn't have the time to get the ball out. Before he knows it, he has his own offensive line laying in his lap, or he's on the ground, and they have to remedy that. They're going to have to figure out a way that to get the ball out of his hands quicker. And then obviously, if you said, Chris, which side of the football you think you would have the Raiders would have problems, it would be the defensive side, not the offensive side. I thought we were going to think that they were going to perform at a really high level. Just not quite yet.
Yeah, and that's where I'm coming from. I mean, it's a punch in the gut for Raider fans to see Derek Carr in that position. I mean, you're used to thinking that, you know, the best side of the ball for us is the offense. And when they struggle like this, as bad as they struggled on Sunday, I mean, obviously Washington played the game of their life. I mean, they couldn't do anything wrong. And they're, Washington, like you said, I mean, they're not as good as what they played on Sunday. But it was one thing after another. Like I said, the O-line couldn't block anybody, and the receivers couldn't catch balls. And he had nobody to throw the ball to. I mean, he's holding onto the ball way too long because he didn't have anybody but his tight end to check down to. So.
Well, the one good thing is that was only week three. You got 15 weeks left, and the Raiders have a great chance to turn it around, my friend.
Yeah, well, we'll see you on Sunday.
All right, thank you. Let's get to Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hello, Grant and Doug. Appreciate the show support for the people out there in Puerto Rico.
Thank you.
I want to go out there and volunteer my time.
Awesome.
My Christmas break or something like that. So. Anyway, yeah, I turned on Sports Center last night, and most of it was politics. And I wanted to clarify the point I was trying to make last week, kind of in the wake of the Jemele Hill incident.
Okay.
You want to talk a little faster so, like, I don't pass out from boredom, or do you want to, like, talk about five words every half hour?
Man. Well, anyway, you asked me if I would be offended if Scott Van Pelt spent the majority of the show on politics.
Who said that?
You asked me that question, Grant.
I asked you that question? Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, I guess my point was, and the point you were trying to make, was that you have to exercise your platform when something is glaring in the face. And there's a good way about doing that and a bad way about doing that. So,
hey, Alex, let me explain something to you, okay? I've been doing this show for 22 years, okay? I have a philosophy on how I like to do my show, and now that Doug is with me, I also respect the fact that he has a platform, and if he wants to use the platform in any way that he wants, I give him a full green light to do that. I don't give a damn about politics. I don't care about talking about it on this show, and I'm going to tell you why, okay? And I'm going to make it very succinct and simple for everyone to understand. Sure. Because if I talk about it, okay, I'm going to be stereotyped, and I'm going to be prejudged based on a sentence or two, because people want to see what side of the fence I'm on politically. And you know what? It's none of your damn business. And number two, this is a sports show. I talk about sports, and I'm sorry. I'm not crossing the line. There are a lot of talk show hosts in America that do sports that are doing that, but I'm not one of them. I'm not going to be one of them. And the reason for that is I did not even mention one word in my two-hour show yesterday about anything that happened over the weekend as far as the president was concerned or the NFL players. And if you had read some of my tweets, you would have thought that I killed everyone publicly about what went on. I didn't even mention it. And so it made my point for me, Alex, that In this world, unfortunately, we live in a society where you really can't speak freely. You really can't give your opinion because there are too many people out there that are just going to prejudge you and stereotype you because they want to hear what they want to hear. That's why I don't discuss it.
All right. Well, I appreciate your clarification.
You're very welcome, and you have a good afternoon. Thank you. Now, if you want to talk about it, I'll give you the complete platform. You can mention anything you want about what happened over the weekend. To me, you know what? I'm not going there. I'm not going there because we, unfortunately, as a society, we can't handle it. So I'm not going there.
Agreed, Grant. On top of the fact that, to be honest, we don't have enough time. And you're right. One sentence is going to be taken out of whatever we say. And that is going to all of a sudden be dominated as our point of view without people allowing us to. We don't have the time to sit down and really talk about that unless we took the whole 4 hours, and it would have to be the
Absolutely.
Whole freaking week.
It would be. And here's the other deal. I'm not an expert on this stuff. OK, I'm an American and I am entitled to my opinion. And if I want to give my opinion, I won't make it on a 50,000 watt station on CBS Sports Radio. I'll make it on my own time and I'll do it in a way that I feel validates my belief where I'm not going to be judged. I don't think people tune in at 3 o'clock to hear what Grant and Doug have to say about the president or about politics or what have you. And unfortunately, okay, most of these issues end up being about race. And me being a 58-year-old white man, no matter what I say, I'm going to be looked upon in a light that I don't want to be looked upon because I know it's not true and I don't want to be aggravated by it. So I sidestep it.
Yeah, I have an opinion about certain things because I'm almost 50, but as an African American, I have a different take. And to be able to say all the different things and cover all the different bases, we don't have enough time for that.
No.
If it is something that is absolutely necessary, and some of our fans bring it up and we start to talk about it from time to time.
Yeah, then we'll talk about it like Alex did. And I think I explained myself. But again, you know, I don't do this show by myself anymore, and I respect you immensely, and you know I respect you immensely.
I appreciate that.
And if you wanted to come on the air and talk about it, I would give you the platform to do so. Now, I may not add anything,
right.
But I would certainly give you the platform
to
do that.
You'd be quiet?
I would be quiet. I know that's hard.
You know,
to believe.
And they also come here for sports and comedy because what you just said to Alex was highly
funny.
Well,
but here's the other deal, okay? See, what I like to use sports for is kind of like a break from the real world. Mm-hmm. Like that's how I look at sports. I look at sports as like I go back to Vlade Divac. All right, you played when Vlade's homeland was having the Civil War.
Yes, I did.
And Vlade Divac, before the game, would be in the trainer's room watching the news and the bombing going on
in his country,
in his homeland, okay? And then Vlade would go out, and I still to this day, and I tell him this, I think that was the best stretch of basketball that Vlade has ever played. With everything going on, very little sleep, concerned about his family and his loved ones, with bombs falling. But for the 2.5 hours, that was Vlade's sanctuary, mm-hmm. okay? And he didn't have to deal with the Civil War. He didn't have to do with that. I'm just using that as one small example.
Yeah.
With everything that's going on in our world right now, this is me, because I was brought up with sports, okay? I watched the game last night between the Cowboys and the Cardinals, okay? I didn't even watch the beginning of the game. I didn't even see the kneeling of what went on until I saw it on the news later. Mm-hmm. I turned on the game. I watched the game. I didn't think about anything political. I didn't think about what the president said. I didn't think about how this person reacted. That's not why I personally, Grant Napier, watched the game. And so that's how I like to talk on the radio. I like to what do we spend? So far, we've been on the air since yesterday for a total of five hours and 45 minutes in 2 days, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What have we've talked about things that happened in sports about, you know, why I come to work every day.
Yeah, you and I had talked off air about just think of all the different things that are going on in our world if we really wanted to not focus on sports, whether it was earthquakes in Mexico, now flooding in Puerto Rico, what happened in Houston, Miami, Florida, excuse me, all the different places. There are so many different ways to go. And it's to focus on one is tough. If people call in and it goes a little bit that way, that's one thing, as opposed to creating 4 hours of content based upon that. It would get out of control.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK.
It is 5:51. Time to watch the Sacramento Republic FC host the Real Monarchs SLC Wednesday 7:30 at Papa Murphy's Park. Tickets at SacRepublicFC.com.
Can you imagine if they had a camera and a microphone in here during our commercial breaks?
Fired! Yeah, it'd be out of control. First of all, we have too much fun.
We do.
Well, you know what? That might be a thing. We need that. We need that. No.
All right, let's get to Carl. You're on with Grant and Doug. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Grant. Hi, Doug. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call.
Thank you, Carl.
So I had a couple things. First, as I was hearing you talk about Harlan Coben with your guest, I just wanted to confess I was racked with guilt. I remember the previous time you were speaking with him, so I was determined to get you an advanced review copy of his new book.
We have it in our hand.
Yeah, we have
I know. 3 weeks ago, I got it for you, but you were on vacation, and then I was on vacation.
Well, you know what? That would have been unbelievable, but yeah. Doug and I both have copies of his new book, Don't Let Go, right in our hands as we speak.
As do I.
Well, good for you.
I was thinking of you as a way of saying thank you for making my long commute more enjoyable.
Hey, well, thank you very much. Anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I don't know if this will make any sense, but I'm a 49er fan and a Kings fan as well. And I know the 49ers aren't going to be winning a lot of games this year, but I can't help but feeling encouraged and also a certain parallel with the Kings, where maybe this season won't be a season of, you know, huge win totals and playoffs and other things that you hope for in the future. But I see youth and I see direction and I see excitement about both organizations, and it makes me hopeful for, you know, things turning around for both franchises.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, there was a lot of turnover front office, and then obviously, you know, new coaches, and yeah, I would agree with you. I can't speak so much to the 49ers. What I see there is similar to what you're saying, Carl, that we're seeing here with the Sacramento Kings. There is a bit of optimism that would allow fans to feel good that the future is hopefully bright.
No, I think I guess I just remember the difference between a 2-14 season before Bill Walsh and Bill Walsh's first 2-14 season. The same record, but you can sure see a difference in a future.
Yep. There you go. Very well said. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Hey, you take care.
All right, you too. Gordon is next on Sports 1140. Hi, Gordon.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
All right, what's happening?
Hey, I really want to appreciate your non-expression clause with the political front. It's great to call a sports show and talk about sports.
Yeah, it sure is, isn't it?
Yeah, in this climate, it's a luxury. The thing I want to emphasize about the Raiders is, for I don't know how long, maybe since 2003 or four, really had a difficult time in a defensive secondary, and Amerson was being targeted all game long. So I think there's a lot of bang for the buck with the front seven. If we can get the back four in line and give a little more time to the front, but
maybe
the offensive line, you know, I mean, on that one point alone.
All right. Let's say you're right and that improves. How on earth do you explain the offensive line getting manhandled the way they did on Sunday night?
Listen, I can't even begin to talk about how disappointed I was in that game from the offensive standpoint. It was just really like they weren't focused. They need to have that player meeting that the other gentleman talked about a little bit earlier in the segment about having an attitude adjustment, because they definitely have all the talent in the world, but they're not executing because they're not disciplined and focused. So what is the problem?
Well, you know, it could be, Gordon, you know, they had a bit of success last year, and you can't rest on that, because I talk about it with Grant. Once you go through a league one time, people have film on you. They have tape on you. Now you're going to show, are you crisp? Are you doing all the little things? Because that's what's going to get you over. And maybe it's too early, Gordon, to say if that is what's happening with the Raiders. Obviously, they beat a Jets team, and they spanked them really good, but the Jets aren't that good. And now you go back east, and Grant said that might be one of those games that catch you, that get you, a trap game. Now we'll see what happens when you go to the Broncos, because this is obviously a division rival. Can they turn it around, Gordon?
Thank you, man. really appreciate the phone call. With that said, we get to Dennis on Sports 1140. Hi, Dennis.
Doug, love the show.
Thank you, Dennis.
Hey, I just wanted to real quickly, I'm kind of like that guy. I really hate overreaction Mondays and Tuesdays, especially really early in the season. Going across country to Washington, Derek Carr was an MVP candidate. This was the best offensive line in football, and the Raiders were 2-0 and considered, you know, one of the best teams in football. One game doesn't erase that. The things that I'm concerned a little bit about, though, man, I'm with you, Grant. There is no explanation how the interior of our offensive line got manhandled by that Washington front. I think a little bit of too much hype on the Raiders, Washington hearing constantly that they were going to get pounded and that we were going to come punch them in the face. And then I don't know if you guys heard, I'm pretty sure you have, but I saw the Josh Norman interview.
Yeah.
And DJ Swearinger, and I guess Cooper and Crabb were talking about how they were going to throw 200 yards on these guys.
Yep.
You know, look, you don't challenge guys like Josh Norman.
No, you don't.
You don't. That's not what you do. So I really think this is just one game. You know,
but you know what? You know what? I'm going to jump in here real quick. You know what concerns me, though, is you're playing a team. Your Raiders are playing a team on Sunday that took, again, arguably the best offensive line, if not the one or two, Dallas Cowboys. And the Broncos last week did the exact same thing to the Cowboys offense that we just saw Washington do to the Raiders offense. And so I guess what I'm saying to you is this matchup would concern me if I just watched the Denver defense completely take the best offensive line or one of the best offensive lines in football and completely shut them down.
Mm-hmm.
That's you know what I mean? We'll find out if it's a fluke or if there's something to it.
Well, and here's the thing, though, Grant. You got to remember that same dominant Denver defense that ran through Dallas just got beat by Tyrod Taylor.
No, I understand.
Good point.
Yeah, and they got ran. You know, they ran down the ball down their throats. Each game is its own individual game. That's just the way it works. But I'll tell you, Grant, real quickly, and I'll make these points real quick. Grant, even if we went to Washington and beat them 55-0, I would still be worried about Denver because they're one of the few teams in the league that can cover us man to man and then use the other, you know, eight guys to run around the field and stop everything else. So no matter what we look like coming into this Denver game, Denver defensively is almost always going to match up with anybody. But I'll tell you, Grant.
All right, we got to go, man. I'm up. I hate to do it. I got to cut you off. We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK.